Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Women Veterans Speak Blog Talk Radio. Thank you all women veterans for joining in on our call. Sorry for any delays and any inconveniences, but we are here. And I want you all to know that I appreciate you joining us here. I do believe that what we were trying to do was get Lakeisha in on the call. Apparently her link is not being able to come through. So I'm going to try to see if she will be able to join in. I think she's in. I think that's her trying to get in now. But
I'm here.
The time was set for 1:30 p.m. And we are trying to get on track here. I do believe it was set for 1:30. I apologize if there's an inconvenience, and I apologize that things are kind of getting a little bit off to a kind of a hefty start here. But we're going to get started, and I'm just glad you all can join us. And just to give a little intro as to what I'm doing, actually twofold dynamics here. One is the Rock Talk Radio, where it's going to be totally audio, but we are going to be here, hopefully, with Lakeisha, where she's going to be presenting through the audio. So I don't know if I think that's a sign that she's not going to be able to get through the for us to see her. But we're going to bring her in. Lakeisha, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, so if you just hold tight, I just want to do a little intro. Just want to make sure. I actually did send you another email if you want to check that to see if it's workable for you to get on the call. I would like for you to meet some of these amazing leaders here. We have the, of course, our vice commander has taken a few minutes off because she has to step off a little bit, as do our other commissioner that's on the line. I wanted to give them a minute just to have a conversation with you before they were having to hop off with other things. So is there any way that you could try that link that may be helpful for you to try the one that I just sent you coming from CBS Consult? Or we could just go on from here if this is something that I beg your pardon, madam?
I'm attempting right now.
Okay, could you turn your volume up just a little bit so that, because we're listening through two different mediums here, and I want to make sure that everybody hears you. So we're just going to get right to the conversation so that you guys can get back to what you have to do. Patricia, particularly Commander, I want to congratulate you on your elevation in representing women, particularly Black women in the American Legion, one of the, I'm going to say, most premier veteran service organizations that I believe exist in this country. And I'm so proud that we have a supporter here that lends her time to us. And Commander, I'd just like for you to just take a moment, because I know that you're going to have to leave, but I want to get that on record here because this will be a recorded session. And if you could just get just in case you have to jump off before everything gets started, could you just give us just a little bit of what it's been like just being in that position? I've noticed all the pictures around with the red hats and all. And I just want to make sure that we get your introductory here of what it feels like to be at the top of the mountain here on this here advocacy for us and representing in this huge capacity.
Oh, my. I'm very, very humbled about this. Oh, my God. Because I'm more excited, about my sister's veteran, doing such an awesome job on the national front. I am just really excited about it. Well, I think that the reality of being a national vice commander and being the first Black female to do it, that certainly bring on some heaviness, within itself, because there are so many people that's looking. And but if it's any inspiration to help others know that yes, you can do it, and yes, we need to be there, and yes, to keep going, then by all means, I'm your girl. I think the reality was when they were talking to me yesterday and then early this morning about the two women, female department commanders that we have, one in Florida, both of these women are of color. many of the American Legion posts that we have. And, you know, a lot of them, both of those women said, well, you know, actually our female commanders of those posts that have problems in that area, they're handling it. And, of course, that's what we do. So, yes, I'm excited. We have a lot of work to try to get together before we have our meeting this week, because we have our fall meetings in Indiana. For me, it starts Friday morning, and I will be getting out of here and arrive on Thursday tomorrow. So I got a lot of work to do.
I just want to ask you a question real quick with regards to the American Legion and the vision that it had. I do recall I served as the adjutant for Pennsylvania, Philadelphia County over the past year. One of the initiatives that they hosted in at the Department of Pennsylvania was that they actually did feature a youth program for black youth in Philadelphia. And I thought that was something that I had not seen, where they actually featured a young black male and some of the issues that were facing them, and they took on that initiative. I just was wondering to kind of announce that we are reaching into the ethnicities that are represented within the ranks there, you know, throughout these VSOs, and I think that's very important. One of the things I think is important for the American Legion, too, is to recognize that, you know, we have dependents. I think American Legion has been sensitized, you know, to the caregivers and to the dependents. So is there a vision in this administration that would expound on that a little bit? Can you share what the vision is for this particular term with regards to the caregivers and the dependents, and particularly any ethnic specific agendas that they may have?
Well, you know, these are things that I'd like to characterize as my elephant in the room with the pink tutu. I actually have a little stuff. Elephant with a pink tutu up on there, some little ballet shoes, ballerina shoes. So, and I usually carry, you know, her around with me, and I put it there. So, when we talk about this, we always talk about everything in general. You know, we talk about children, we are speaking about all children. But we also know, and that they're learning from me, that yes, there are some health issues that are specific to us as women of color, and because I do have other women that are indigenous, as well as our Puerto Rican women there, oh yes, that they have to address those too. So I'm always easing these items into this conversation that we're having. Because when I talk about, or whenever we're talking in general, and they say something about women veteran issues, and they talk about, let's say specifically, maternal care, it's different with us. Even when I was on active duty, and I had my children, you know, while I was on active duty. But it is still different. We still have different things that are just, they may be genetic to us, and the environmental issues that come up behind that, plus those shared past experiences that we're also bringing in. Like I told them, you guys are really not ready to have these conversations, but I am. And so I think that for most of them, they are strategically kind of putting me in place, but I don't think that they always know what they're asking for, but they're going to find out about that.
But I think
find out about it, because I am going to have that conversation. So, yes, our one of the top men for Boys Nation was a black guy. He was a young black kid, and he was so sharp, it was just unreal. I mean, they even had the dreads. I mean, he was very culturally dressed. You know, he had the dreads and everything. But he was neat about it. He was very articulate. This dude, I'm just expecting great we're here fighting about women veteran health care and our military women health care, because I done caught some people in the lies, and I'm not gonna say it.
Well, I want to.
If they have that chair there, I'm going to sit in it, and I'm going to say something about it.
I want to. Commander, I want you to look forward to a future event where we can actually show the documentary that was that you were portrayed as a woman veteran, and I want us to sit around the fireplace, watch the video, and have a conversation around some of your history. You have a rich history in service and out of service. Of course, I love and honor you for your service, but we have, of course, the next generation, and we're going to introduce her, but I really want to make sure that she connects with you, our featured guest speaker here. I'm telling you, when I called you on the phone and you received her and was able to give some words of encouragement, you know, I knew that we were certainly giving her the type of an embrace that we need to be doing as senior veteran advocates. And I think that she is certainly worthy of our time, and certainly I want to be able to introduce her to you. And, of course, Colonel, you know, I love you for always being there. She's the mother of us all. She is so articulate and smart and diplomatic and just so amazing, and she never says no to come back and help us. So I'm just going to introduce her, and then I'm going to come back and just give the floor to our special guest. But I really do have to, you know, just read a little bit about our commissioner here, because she's just so amazing, and she never, ever says no to me about coming back and having conversations where she's bringing just amazing conversations. So just bear with me. We're going to get through this first part, but I really want you to at least hear at least a few minutes of our guest, because her presentation was phenomenal, okay? And it's going to be worth your time. So, Colonel, beg your pardon?
Excuse me, I just want to kind of squeeze this in. Lakeisha, I'm going to be in Georgia, in the Department of Georgia's Fall Conference, the 27th.
Coming down.
If you're going to be there, I would love for you to, you know, if you're going to be there, I would love for you to just come and pull my, just pull on my jacket.
I'm sure I may even drive down there myself. I'm telling you, because I know that's going to be an amazing, amazing fellowship down there. I was on my way to Florida, but my train, I got a sleeper train, but it was canceled because of Ian. And then my resort down there said, well, you know, we were still open up in between here and there, though there was a whole lot of water, you know. So when my train actually canceled, I canceled my trip, so I can't wait to get back on that train and get down to Georgia, Florida. And this might be the perfect time to come and fellowship with you all down there. I'm going to just say a few words about my dearest, dearest mentor, coach, friend, Colonel Cooper, who is just so humble and coming to just lend her support today, because she knows why she's here. And Commander Harris is about the black health phenomenon for women veterans, black women veterans' health that we are I'm going to centering our discussion. The Congressional Black Caucus Veterans Brain Trust was established in 1987. It was run by a Vietnam-era veteran, Mr. Ron Armstead, who introduced me to Congress in that year. And in that year, I just have the latest foundation. I was able to go to Congress, and at that time, there was no women veteran facilities in VA hospitals, but from my congressional testimony, it was a mandate that women veterans have gender-specific treatment facilities in all VAs in the country. And that's just the beginning of what he's done. But the past 34 years, this man has every year created this space for black veterans who come and be honored. The 6888 actually was facilitated particular platform through Mr. Armstead, of course, Commander. I don't know if you familiar with that particular legislation, but I think it was last year that Colonel Cummings kind of spearheaded a campaign with that Congressional Medal of Honor for the 6888 black women of World War II was passed. And Colonel Cooper, you may be able to speak to that, but let me just read a little bit about who you are and what it means for you to be here. So this is her biography that she has presented for this occasion. Colonel retired Irma Cooper is a 30-year veteran of the United States Army. She is a graduate of the Army War College with a master's degree in strategic studies. She has held three commands ranging from company to a medical group, including one command in Iraq. Colonel Cooper has distinguished herself by exceptionally meritorious conduct in a myriad of assignments with the Army Nurse Corps. In all positions, she has demonstrated inspired leadership, tireless energy, and total dedication to the spirit and mission of the Army Nurse Corps and the United States Army Reserve. Colonel Cooper previously commanded of the largest medical group on West Coast, which consists of two combat support hospitals and 12 medical companies and detachments. She successfully planned, organized, and sustained command and control for medical units in California and Utah. She successfully executed numerous deployments and humanitarian missions. She commanded major deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan and humanitarian missions to Honduras, Germany, and El Salvador. Colonel Cooper's professional execution of medical deployment established confidence in the AMED's ability to meet the medical needs of the combatant commanders. Currently, she continues to be actively working with veterans with a focus on women veterans and mentoring junior officers. She has been awarded the Bronze Star for her service in Iraq and numerous other wars, including the Merit of Legion. And Colonel Cooper is the recipient of numerous honors, including the 2013 Veteran Service Award by California State Senator Dr. Ed Hernandez. She also received the 2012 Military Nurse of the Year Award presented by the National Association of Black Nurses and the 2004 Award for the Nurse of the Year. And how about this? The Citrus Valley Medical Center has presented that award to her, which I think sends a huge message on how she's respected amongst her peers. She maintains membership in nursing and military national associations, stay current on issues to better assist her veterans. But I want to say that she has a history here of community service on several boards, including the Department of Veterans Affairs Advisory Committee on Minority Veterans. And I think that is the most powerful role that we can have her, because I've heard her speak in some of those engagements, and I can tell you she stands out from the rest. She brings in a very conscious level of articulate advocacy for veterans in general, and generals in whole as whole, where she sees some injustices or many needs that need to be met. So I would like for her to talk a little bit about what that has meant to her and what this invitation to provide a second term in this capacity and how it can benefit us in this dialogue here on women veterans health who are Black in heritage, and how that we can continue to have the conversation that may establish some place in the advisory committee, if you can make that correlation. I think it'll be helpful for us to see that we are not just wasting time here, but we are connected to major sources, even through the VSOs on a national level and through the role that you have in a huge capacity at the Department of Veterans Affairs.
Thank you for the invite and that nice intro. Patricia, I want to congratulate you on your new role, and I know you will be successful, and I know you have the strategic skills to deal with those elephants in the room. And Lakeisha, I am so proud of you. I've heard just nothing but good things, and you are the future, and we do want to help you grow and develop, because we know we have to have someone to sustain and go forward. First, I would just like to say, like Kat said, the Brain Trust has just been phenomenal. And this year I was invited to speak. The subject was elevating the healthcare needs of Black women and Black veterans in the 21st century. I was all prepared to go and take that challenge. But then there was some issues that, medical issues that kept me from going forward. But it is crucial that Black military women veterans speak on these issues. We cannot have people that do not look like us try to speak for us, because they really don't understand our cultural needs. They don't understand a lot of things. my experience with the VA is that don't have enough providers that look like us. I was on the wait list for over a year just waiting for a black psychologist. I attempted to speak with a white person, but it was useless. They just didn't understand my needs. They didn't understand my terminology. It was like a conflict. You know, it's like talking to someone who's speaking a foreign language. They just didn't understand. But once I was able to get my black provider, it was 100 degrees differently. She could relate to my issues. She understood. She was able to, you know, get me to speak on issues, and I felt comfortable speaking with her because she was able to understand my needs and how to help me and to give me the best treatment. So it's important. And for someone to tell you that they can't find enough women, black veterans, that's just untrue. When we make up 43% of all the veterans that are women in the service. So don't tell me you can't find any blacks, because we represent about, you know, 40% being black. You know, when you look at the total group of women of color, you know, we have the blacks, the Asians, the Hispanics, but the blacks are the largest group. So don't tell me you can't find us to speak at these events, because you can. But anyway, I just wanted to let you know that there are certain issues that affect black women that need to be addressed. And they tell us all the time, oh, well, we can't find. No, you haven't done the right recruiting. You haven't gone to the right medical schools to recruit. And you need to see, you know, what are you offering? Why is it that people of color don't want to come to the VA? You have to open up room for them to advance, because we need those health care providers, especially when you have a large group of black veterans. And then, of course, you've got to make us feel welcome. I mean, who wants to come into a place and you don't feel welcome? Or they're doubting every single thing you say. Or you get the wrong information. You're running around to a point you just get frustrated. So our needs are very specific. And, you know, like Patricia said, a lot of times they're not ready to have those conversations, but we need to keep bringing them up, because eventually they will listen. And a lot of times we have to work together, because we can't expect one or two black women veterans to represent the whole group, because they look at that too. They know how many of us. And when they see only a small number of us participating or writing letters or showing up, it makes a difference. So we have to make our voices heard if we're going to get what we deserve, because we have served, we've earned these benefits, and we should be able to get them. So that's what I have to say right now about that, access and providers that look like us.
And I think that is a good place to springboard for our guests, because this is what it's about, you know. And I just want to provide this bridge here. The Vietnam era veterans, you know, those are the different times. I said from Desert Storm, I went into the military as an adult. I was in my 30s, actually. So when the war started, I was thinking, oh, my God, I didn't come in for this. I only just wanted to get my law degree. But be that as it may, what I witnessed in that process And I reached back, and I saw that there was nobody there to cradle me. There was nobody there to transition, because it doesn't matter about your age. The situation doesn't change when you're involved in, whether it is military sexual assault traumas or just other issues that become a little bit complex being in that environment. I think, like Commissioner said, that this is a different type of environment, and we are a different type of people. And sometimes when you have the mixed culture, you have to have, I think, tolerance or at least an understanding of the differences in other people. And I am continually to hear the word they, which I don't particularly identify with the word they anymore, because they is us. They is us because we are no longer that person who doesn't understand what's happening when we are using barriers such as racism or those kind of barriers from the past. I think those days, in my opinion, have become another level of, I'm going to say challenges, but we know about that. We are at an intellectual capacity today where we are they. We are the they that are going to change that paradigm. And I think it starts with conversations like this. Yes, it takes more than one commissioner, but can we start with all that we have all agreed upon, and which is having the conversation? And I thank you, Commander, for being in such a huge position and say, let's have the conversation. Can you imagine having a conversation where you are? You know, and they like that. I think they are looking for somebody connected, because most of the times when we talk about they're so disconnected geographically. I don't live amongst, I live amongst black people. You know, my house is in what they refer to as the hood. You know what I mean? Where people have not graduated. And why do I remain there? I have options beyond my neighbors or mostly anybody in the community. But I choose to stay there because if everybody leaves, who is going to anchor the people to rise up out of there? So I join all of these different community activities. I see you doing that. You're doing your part in the communities. But if we continue on, we can continue to promote and share with those like Lakeisha, who's connected to so many other young Iraqi veterans. She's doing great work, just amazing work. And I really want us to hear her from her before I start taking up. You know, somebody blink or wink or do this, because you know when my mouth gets to running, I get so engaged because I get excited, and people mistake it for something else. But I am so excited when I see all of us here because we bring such amazing power and strength. There's nothing compared to it. You know, well, we have been doing this now for a few years, right, Commissioner? And they always show up. Command Sergeant Major Michelle Jones is going to jump on later on. And, you know, she's another powerhouse that's so connected. And I want you to meet her so that you can have all these resources at your disposal. And I'm just going to read just a little bit about some of the highlights, and I'm going to share your resume at your permission with the group, because I'm going to read some of it, but I think I want to get right to you. But I'm going to start up this reading, just, you know, giving maybe the first half, because when I read her bio, I actually saw a book. I said, you have got to write about these experiences so that we can know and understand what's happening in these arenas, okay? So this is Lakeisha D. Stringer, United States Navy veteran. Oh, my God, when I met her, we connected. I just felt so honored at that moment when I saw her there. She was in her full uniform, of course, and she had so many honors and different buttons that she had, you know, just been through the American Legion, and just such a proud, proud representation. I just right away, I locked eyes on her and said, well, who is this queen? You know, basically, and I just have been attached to her ever since. You know, I kind of met her mother, you know, through the phone and everything. I just felt like I just needed to kind of adopt her at a distance, and I want us all to embrace her. Lakeisha was born in Columbus, Georgia. She was raised in both Columbus, Georgia and Phoenix City, Alabama. She graduated high school at 17 years old in May of 1999 and entered into active duty United States Navy Forces in September of that same year. Lakeisha served honorably on board the USS Mobile Bay Coast Guard 53, I think it's CG 53, and the USS Kaupin CG 53 in Yokosuka, Japan, before going on shore before going on shore duty to the Naval Construction Battalion Center in Gulfport, Mississippi in December of 2003 until 2008. With three combat tours. Y'all may have even run across each other out there in Iraq somewhere, Commander, Commissioner. Lakeisha has learned much about sacrifice. Returning home to Columbus, Georgia, as a survivor of mental and physical trauma from combat, Lakeisha was a homeless veteran. Due to these ailments, she was unable to communicate with family. She joined the American Legion in 1999, but became a contributing member in 2011 after much mental counseling through VA services and attaining housing through the HUD-VASH program at the Central Alabama Valley Healthcare System with the help of Dr. Margarita High, Sir Donald Gibson, and many others. In 2021 to 2022, she became the first black commander in 103 years at Charles S. Harrison American Legion Post, number 35 in Columbus, Georgia, and the second female commander. I congratulate you, my sister. Because I know that those environments, they have a gem. They have a treasure in you. Let me move on because it gets better. After her term as commander ended, she is one of the first female commanders to turn over that leadership role to another female veteran. That's how you pass the torch. So, Commander Harris, you know what you have to do. I think your understudy is right next to you from this view.
Absolutely. Love it.
Yes, ma'am. Lakeisha began volunteering at the Homeless Resource Network in 2011, also which is, as of June 2022, Southwest Georgia Housing Opportunities, where she has served on their board since 2015. On the board. She is the Mission Continuous Fellowship alumni and recipient of the Mark Weaver Award of 2016 for her efforts in ensuring 50-plus veterans receive housing. Through all available resources during her fellowship in 2015, she has been the platoon leader for Columbus, Georgia, first service platoon from October 2019 to the present. Lakeisha has always had the heart and the courage to serve, but attributes her push to rise to help in a greater capacity to words from the mission continues. Tell us, Greg, you have always had permission to serve. We have permission. Let's engage. And to her late sister, Sheila Abbott, make it happen. Let us adopt those mottos. Let's make it happen. I'll receive that. She found Entertainment LLC in 2005. And we had someone come in here for you, but they had to cancel. That would be Ms. Wanda Petty from Shebeck. She has an international network of business entrepreneurs, women veterans who she has. And she was looking forward to meeting you, and she told me to make sure that you get her contact information. She wants to put you on her television program. I just want to throw that out there. So this is breast to breast. We're connected to many sources here. And just in sharing with you, not even having met you, I believe that I just delivered just a portion of what she's going to see. But she's prepared to meet you as soon as possible so that she can spotlight you on her program. And she has a wonderful international program where she addresses women veterans in professional development and entrepreneurship. And I tell you, she has done great things for me. In my knowing her over the years, and certainly many other veterans that I have known, and I certainly have recommended you at the highest level for pouring into and investing her time into. So I will move on. So Entertainment LLC, she founded the Key Entertainment, the Key Kai, K-E-I Entertainment LLC in 2005 while on active duty and continues to use her marketing company to benefit the nonprofits that she's a part of locally and abroad. June 29, 2000, the USS Caltiers arrived at its new home of naval base Yokosuka, Japan, to replace the USS Mobile Base CG-53. And July 28th, so we have a series of different Navy operations here, and I really want to make sure we have this to share amongst ourselves for and inviting her to these various forums, because all of us have platforms on which we invite and have speakers. But I want to share this, but I want to skip just down just a little bit further to where I can share closer to the end on some of the actual work that you've done while you were abroad. The USS Cowpens, you returned home on November 20. The USS Cowpens, after a deployment to the Indian Ocean and rising along the way, Guam, Singapore, Thailand, and India, paid a visit to Mumbai, India, as a United States Navy representative to the 2001 International Fleet Review. She was one of 97 ships represented in more than 30 countries. Now, she's our junior, so you know that we have to make sure that we can handle what's coming before us, because I think she's Urshaman and what's a generation of certainly capable veterans that is just a signal of what that next generation of young veterans could do in the space of advocacy and opening doors. That's why I say we are the new they. We are the ones that's going to change that paradigm. And if we can agree to that, you know, and what we have planned to do through this forum, I think we're going to have a really open for what I believe that's going to be done through this young lady here, because she has connected to so many resources. Let me just read on the last couple of paragraphs. The guided missile cruiser played an active role in the relief effort following January earthquake in northwestern India, delivering medical and humanitarian supplies. CG-63 also participated in several bilateral and multilateral exercises with the navies of Japan, and Korea. This included annual exercise 2001, a bilateral training drill between the Navy and the Japanese Maritime Self-Defense Force in November, in which the Aegis-class ship was the Navy's centerpiece for this exercise, while the USS Kitty Hawk deployed to the Indian Ocean for Operation Enduring Freedom. Jesus. Operationally, Cowpens also supported highly sensitive escort missions and Operation Noble Eagle. She also conducted Strait of Malacca escort operations in support of Operation Enduring Freedom. 2002, the Cowpens arrived in Shimoda, only 50 miles away from Yokosuka, to participate in the 63rd annual Black Ship Festival. I'd like to hear more about that. The Cowpens arrived in Shimoda, only 50 miles away from Yokosuka, to participate in the 63rd annual Black Ship. I think I misread that, right? Sorry about that. So in April 22nd, I think I'm going chronological here of different activities in the USS Cowpens. But I think the message here is that from throughout this experience, and I'm going to go to the last event, which is May 6th, and I'm assuming this is in May. Could you just explain what year that is? But in U.S. Cowpens returned to home port. And what year was that, madam? I did not quite hear you. In 2003, the USS Cowpens returned to home port after 4.5-month deployment in support of Operation Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom. During that time, she served as Air Defense Commander for Task Force TF-50, directed a multinational force of more than 150 ships. She also launched 39 Tomahawk missiles in support of OIF. I'm sure there has to be more than this, because I'm cut off here, but I want to know, you to know that I am just honored to be in your company. I want you to take the floor. I want to just lay a little bit of foundation on the Black Women Veterans Health Forum that was held in Washington, D.C. for the 34th Annual Veterans Brain Trust. I just want to get back to just lay a foundation on, and I want this to be an exchange of comfort. Just know that you're in a safe place. It is just us here. And we will not release this information without anyone's permission. It is being audio broadcast live right now through Facebook and whoever would have access the link to the outside information. But for us who are watching here, and I'm looking for any type of a need to change the conversation, I really want to talk just a bit about the invitation that was received. The recommendation by Colonel Cooper. I want to intro your comments on Colonel Cooper and how you were able to get to the caucus. You would like to start from there, and you all can engage on that exchange, because I think it's very significant, beginning with Connor Cooper's comments about there must be no excuse about you can't find a black woman veteran, and I want to just enter that in on this particular recording to show and demonstrate what this conversation will lead into. Please, by all means. For that clarity for the record, but if you were on it, you were just much a part of the execution.
Yeah.
Tanya. That is she is a deputy she is the chief of staff of the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Tanya Brashear.
Debbie
Wasserman Schultz is a congresswoman out of Florida. She is the subcommittee appropriations chair in Washington, D.C. May I ask you a question about your initial, because she recognized me as she engaged me and we locked eyes, and I'm thinking, this woman is powerful. She just had that aura about her, And I want to just go back to the introduction just a little bit, because I engaged the facilitators about the invitation and the setup there as to what was the arrangement here, because I didn't recognize. Welcome, Dr. Campbell. We're just getting into the conversation with our guests, and we're talking now about how she is going into the stage area and what I'm going to go into the conversation about some specific things that she wanted to talk about and some of the experiences on the stage. So she's just described how the Jewish woman, and this is how she was introduced. She was introduced as the first Jewish woman to come to Congress. That's how she's introduced, which is why I keep saying Jewish, because that's what they said, okay? And this makes it even more distinguishable in this arena because it's a Black Woman Veterans Forum. That is the title of the event, Black Women Veterans. Posters are everywhere. So I'm going to go with ethnicity because that's how they introduced it. So I'm not trying to raise any awareness about any other thing. I'm just addressing strictly what happened in the event. So they introduced her, and I sent, I actually have that. I listened to some of it last night, but it's all over the place. I'm turning my iPad here and then upside down. But I want you to hear it, because you too will feel what we feel. But I wanted to play it afterwards, okay? Because I wanted you to hear her first, and then when you hear it, you're going to see how everything plays out. So when I walked in and I saw the density in the place, I want to know who facilitated everything, because this is a packed house. And so I was introduced to a Mr. Jonathan Halpern. He is the Deputy Chief of Staff for Congressman Bishop, who I know is he's one of the founding members, basically, of the Veterans Brain Trust. And I said, well, let me just get in this picture with you before everybody comes. I'm thinking it's going to be packed so you can't get, you know, as in the past, I've never actually met him before that day because there's always so many people, you know, and all I'm doing is taking pictures because I carry press. So when I walked up to Mr. Halpern, I just want to lay this foundation because I think it's critical. I said, well, Mr. Halpern, well, where is everyone at? He said, well, he couldn't find any Black women veterans. You couldn't find any Black women veterans, sir. I said, well, I started the very first women veterans program in this country. I'm down here every year for the past 30 years. That's just a Google. I mean, but anyway, I said, well, he said, well, there was a Black lady that was coming, but we couldn't pay her way. I'm thinking, what do you mean you couldn't pay her way? What are you talking about? If you talk about Commander Cooper, Commissioner Cooper, Commissioner Cooper had a medical emergency, sir. And aside from all of that, that's another topic for the discussion. You know, because I do believe that those of us who volunteer every year are entitled. When legislators create a platform that they show themselves up into, particularly on this one, not only do you pay their airfare, but you give them honorarium, because this is hard work. So I'm thinking, and I'm taking all this energy in now because I'm feeling the vibe what's happening, and I see that they're going onto the stage now, and I really want to see Congresswoman Underwood, because she's on the Veterans Affairs Committee. Sanford Bishop, we have Congresswoman Bernice Johnson. Those are the sponsors. We have Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Split. So I'm looking at all the legislative power in there. But where are the veterans? And I see this young lady. I had to embrace her, because when she goes onto the stage, she has a cane. Then I see another veteran who's white, who I know. She's up and says, I'm thinking, what are you doing up there? You know? So me, and let me just talk it out, because I need y'all to hear the dynamics, because it's going to escalate into an emotional dynamic where you know why we got to be present. It is so important. So I'm watching everybody sit and seating. So when they're introducing people, they introduce Debbie Wasserman Schultz first. Then they introduce Tanya Brashear, who is the chief of staff to the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, who was the keynote speaker, Dennis McDonald, who was present there. So it's a really packed house there. You know, there's a lot of power up there in that little area up there, but there's no veterans there. And as I'm watching the lineup, they were all sitting, but Lauren, she started speaking about the event, and she come out, she started talking about the Omnibus Bill. The Omnibus Bill is a bill that was passed, and she started talking about how she introduced the Omnibus Bill, but it has to do more with women in general and the reproductive processes for, I'm going to speak specific to maternity, postpartum, and delivery, that type of a thing. So she passed this bill, but I'm waiting for the connection to Black women veterans, and this is where I want Lakeisha to kind of come in and talk about at that point, when you, because I think it's important for these women to hear what we are defending here, being Black women veterans that are going to take that platform and transition it to here. This is going to be the fundamental dialogue that would have been had you been given a chance to answer your questions that spoke specifically about Black veterans. But I think that what's more important, it was to show you the scenario that you were dealing with by yourself, sitting there by yourself. Had I not showed up, you would remain there by yourself, and then you had to encounter all of these dynamics where you would have been isolated in a zone, defending yourself against people that weren't even, not only not like you, but they didn't even identify with you. Now take it from there, okay? Did I set the stage up? But that's where I wanted to start from, because this is so important for us, because they were setting a stage for someone, this young soldier who flew up from Georgia by herself, sitting by herself on this stage by herself, discussing something which doesn't even address any of the issues. And please allow me to calm myself and not go into that space, because it still does bother me. And I was more concerned about it bothering you. But thank you, Dr. Leela. If you just help us out here. We have a psychologist here on the line with us that's going to help us with our framing this up in a real way. So please feel free to jump in if you feel like you need to, because I know I got extremely emotional about what was about to transpire. And I really want that to be part of the fundamental so we can feel what she felt at that time.
Let's go back to the fun
just thought that the convenience of your presence, you replaced someone who had an emergency.
Right.
You were there at your own expense, is my understanding.
Yes.
But you were isolated in your space without a guide or someone there to kind of tell you what the process was. I think that's what I would have expected, someone there to kind of assist me with acclimating into that environment. I just think that when I saw you there, I came up and sat in that seat in the row next to you because I said, this doesn't feel right. It didn't feel right to me. And when you engaged me, I knew that was my opportunity to step in because I saw that there was no real connectivity to anybody in the room. There was no real connectivity there. I mean, people were coming there to do what they had to do, but there was no camaraderie there. There were no other women veterans there that may have been talking about. There was none of that there. It was just the legislators and this young lady. You see what I'm saying? So I really think that's important that you acknowledge how you were able to sustain that on that stage with those Congress people while they were talking around you. I am overwhelmed and I am emotional. So please, I allow me to be because I need to be emotional.
I don't know the lady's breath. Take your breath. She and I had a conversation while I was on the stage. She was talking. There were some things that I had heard of that weren't quite out yet of that party, that $9 billion. And I was about women's health care that they just set up for women veterans. So she was speaking about some things that I didn't hear of, so I was able to take them. I give her that. For Schultz, when she began to speak, she took up 4 minutes and just conjecture. It was because it's on the topic that was important. You got to be black to talk about black. I would have to be
So I'm sitting on the back. I'm sitting right in front of her at this point so that she can have a point of reference, because I noticed the expression on her face. And this is key, Dr. Campbell, because I have another situation happened yesterday with a black woman veteran through the Department of Veterans Affairs. So I noticed on her face, it just totally just went blank, as though she had been, you know, a caught off guard or something like that, you know. And I just saw that they were literally talking over her. So the people that was around her were kind of like talking to each other. So she was sitting there, and she's trying to identify with them. And I watched her how she, now I don't know if she was conscious of this, because she and I kind of talked about it. I'd like to see where we can go with this in terms of if this was something that we need to be mindful of. But I watched her face in that moment. But nobody identified with the woman veteran with a traumatic brain injury with PTSD who they have just triggered at that point. Nobody knew what to look for. So she was just there, you know, trying to find her place to, it looks like, to recover from that. And what I told her she looked like she was doing was she began to, like, bite down on her teeth, you know, and I asked her what was happening at that point. If you want to share a little bit about that, if you don't want to go into that point, you don't have to. We have Dr. Campbell here. But what I witnessed, and this is significant because on yesterday, I'm going to try to interject this piece because Dr. Campbell is here. She's going to be helping us through this process. On yesterday, Department of Veterans Affairs showed a video. They sent it to me to put out. I don't put out anything from the VA unless I approve of it myself. They had a black woman veteran do a 12-minute documentary, of which at the end of the documentary, those of us who are invited, the trailblazers, we were supposed to give commentary, and there was going to be a discussion. After the documentary, I was in the chat room, and what I could see was a very similar effect. The woman was doing the interview, but she was crying uncontrollably. She was just having an emotional breakdown trying to explain this recall of her military experience, because it was her first time doing it, okay, on film in a documentary that they want to send out as some type of a poster child to other women veterans. This was what the mission of that agenda was. So in the chat room, I'm saying you cannot use a woman veteran in this capacity. They want to know what we thought about it. But what I thought, too, was the overarching agenda was they were luring other women veterans through this pain and suffering of this woman to a research program. It was for the Million Veterans Program, and they were recruiting black women veterans. That is the overarching agenda. And so when I was saying that it is illegal to solicit participants in any research about an informed consent process, it is illegal to do that. It's unethical to do that. And it certainly was unhealthy for this young lady to be sitting there trying to recall a story of which she was, nobody offered even her tissue. You know, she's sitting going through this for 12 minutes. So I just want to kind of draw that into the story because this is going to be an uncommon conversation for the VA, because I think the VA missed it big time. So what they did was, as I was chatting, they bumped me out of the chat room, okay, because my conversation to them was not conducive to the plan. And I think we need to look at what is their plan. So when we are actually engaging in these different opportunities here, this is why this is a safe place for you. You're around nothing but love here. We are authentic advocates here, okay? And this is a safe place. But what I saw you experiencing, I knew that there was something missing there in terms of a connectivity with the people around her, if you understand what I'm saying, ladies. And I just felt so, I felt it was like extremely necessary for me to connect, and I think that it's where I will allow, if Dr. Campbell would like to come in and comment, she's a psychologist. She works very much with us for many, many years. Dr. Campbell, I didn't get your bio, but I'm just going to tell you what I know about this wonderful, wonderful professional. Dr. Campbell has been working with a Veterans Brain Trust for many years. I actually met her when we did a 3-year research project on Iraq veterans. I think it was Afghanistan veterans, and I think there was a comparative study with the mental ill in prison, incarcerated. So at 3 years, the Veterans Brain Trust worked through Howard University for this amazing research project where we had black psychiatrists, black psychologist, and I think Dr. Campbell was the facilitator, or she worked very closely in that process, and she had been facilitating the Women Veterans Forums. And on that one that I sent you with the picture, that is Dr. Campbell's work. That is her that has done all this work. So she is very much a part of the Women Veterans family and what she has done to contribute to help with our healing. And I want to invite her in just to share a little bit about this experience and kind of add a little bit about what she sees going forward and how we can help these situations within these very unsuspecting environments where we don't know what we to expect.
Hi, good afternoon, baby. How are you all doing?
Just fine.
Great, great, great. It's good to see you all. I did my, I'm in Baltimore. I went to Morgan State. 2018, I did my, I finished up my dissertation on I wanted it to be on homeless women veterans in Baltimore City. I could not do that because I used a point-in-time count and I did not have enough samples. I did not have enough feedback to go on related to information from Verity. And listening to your story, Leticia, you know, my thing is that, you know, just like I didn't have enough samples, a lot of female veterans don't step up, and it may be for various reasons why they don't tell their stories. Maybe they want to share their stories, but, you know, midway, may get emotional or may get in the way where they can't come back to successfully finish their story so that it can be heard in the proper way where we can get the assistance or the help that we need as it relates to women veterans. So with that, I know Kathy kept saying, I could see her face.
Mm-hmm.
I could see the, you know, what are we going to do in preparation as we move forward? Make sure that our stories are told, that we can get through our stories. So to make sure that, you know, again, we can tell our story in a way where we can get the help and support that's needed. So, you know, as we begin to allow our sisters to step up on these platforms, we have to make sure that we support them in a way where, again, they can successfully get their stories out. So that, you know, we can set the record straight and we can make sure that, again, we can get the support that we need. So just to make sure that if somebody's going to see that we have a Kathy Santos that can, you know, see, hey, you know what, I think that, you know, we need to take a break right here. And then maybe we need to redirect it to someplace else and then let somebody else interject. So just things like that, as we move forward, we got to make sure that we are properly prepared, and again, we have the support that we need so that, you know, again, as we call folks like the teacher to the platform to speak, you know, they probably had a lot of good information, sounds like a lot of good information that needed to be received during the caucus this year, but they have been a missed opportunity for some, you know, for the reasons that Kathy and Keisha talked about. But I think that that is going to be important to strategically make sure that we are properly, that we're ready to run the full gamut. And then I think that even as we do this, it'll give the pave the way for more women to come to the table and say that, you know what, I am strong enough. I am like Keisha. I'm willing to step up the table and make sure that I can get my story across. And even if I can't, I know that there's somebody in the room that I can catch the eye to, you breathe, and know what to do to proceed.
Thank you so much. I don't want to cut you off, but I want to make sure that Lakeisha is connecting because I want her to be a part of this conversation moving forward. I never, ever want to see a young soldier, a young military woman experience that by what do we call those people? Bays? Well, them. Well, there was a disconnect. If you understand, well, can you imagine being in a room for you at a party, you don't know anybody, and you're the only one that don't drink, okay? You're the only one that don't smoke. She just stood out in such a way that it was really all about her. It was actually her stage. It was about black women veterans. So she had some particular questions that she wanted answered, and some of them had to do with homelessness. If you want to just, can I just ask a couple of the questions that you really had prepared and that you had submitted for them to ask you? Can I just go through a couple of them and you can address them here, just so that we can just get an understanding of what the message was that you wanted to send? And I really would like for us to have a second part to this, so, because I really, really want to see you talk to some other women veterans about this. Because we think that we're ready. I did public radio in Philadelphia for 5 years. And I used to go on that radio. My mother said, go, and I'd be in some kind of way. But my mother said, you keep going till they tell you to stop. But that was my healing, okay? My words, MST can be a very uncertain type of situation if you are not into that healing process. But my mother told me to get it going. So I wound up going as a guest, and I had to go for 5 years. But in that, I would invite other women veterans who thought they were ready to go from not even ever dealing with military sexual assault to the stage. I would invite them there, and I would have to tell them, cut, just stop it right there. Because once they start to talk about it, and the same thing happened when we were with Elijah Cummings down here. We actually did an event with Dr. Newton, Dr. Campbell, on Capitol Hill. And the same thing happened to a young lady sitting for me, and she just literally got up and just ran out of the room. And because it, for the first time, you know, it's like coming out of a shell you've been into, or a tunnel. I used to call it a tunnel. And you come out of this tunnel and see the light for the first time. It really, really does shock you. One of the questions that I know that she was thought was important because she submitted them was, as a black woman veteran that experienced homelessness, after becoming a homeowner, how did it affect you as an MST survivor? Can you just lean into that just a little bit? So Dr. Campbell is going to continue with the research, and we're going to help her to find these women veterans so that she can continue to help identify some of these characteristics of what's happening in the life of women veterans. Because I always say, it's not about MST. There are other characteristics in the lives of women veterans that are just as important, quality of life issues. But we are affected by all of that. So please, it's your turn now. Lakeisha, please, Dr. Campbell, about that.
First, I want to say, Dr. Campbell, I was able to complete the segment. It was more so that time was being taken away by conjecture. So, like, when Ms. Kathy is saying how they were talking over me, they were talking over us. So when they were speaking, they weren't speaking about black female veterans. They were speaking about the IFR, all these other things that had nothing to do with black female veterans, but the topic is black female veterans, right? So as they were talking, I have to say, like, while I was, when I glanced my right on my right, and that's just like, stop her saying, I don't know if anybody got their hair done. Right?
I have a situation here. We can either continue on in the radio or I can extend, but I want to have a part two. I kind of pushed through because I thought that, you know, I got some notice that, that people had other appointments. But as you can see, this is very engaging and very necessary. So I have on this particular slot here about, 10 minutes or so? I want us to schedule again because I think that we need to do this and really flush it out. We've kind of got laid the foundation. Dr. Campbell, can you commit to coming back with us? And could anybody agree that we maybe we could wind up today and come back with this maybe next a week from now or whatever so that we can really flush this out as to the plan of action? I do know that Dr. Campbell has committed to the 2023 Veterans Brain Trust, it be stemmed from here. We are going to be the strategic planners here, and we are going to bring together women veterans. And I think this, Dr. Campbell, is where we can begin to celebrate what standards we're going to set for how we're going to be treated. It's no more they. We're going to take the reins, and it's what your sister say, make it happen, okay? We're going to make it happen, and I think that if you can conclude on that note, we have about maybe, I think I'm reading this correctly, but if it cuts off, I did leave a number into the Blog Talk Radio where that's going to run for another half an hour. If you want to go and write that, I'm going to go back on the Blog Talk Radio and finish this conversation, but I want to do this live. I'm looking at y'all's faces. You can feel me. I'm angry. I'm angry because black women, Georgia, black women in America, black women from slavery, my mother, I said, I raised a black son here in America. And as a black mother, are you kidding me? We are not they. And I refuse to allow someone who doesn't get it to set a standard for me in life. I just have to express my emphatic position here, and I want to set this tone. When we unite on this venture, Dr. Campbell, I want us to come into this with this kind of zeal that we are giving to this young lady. The next generation will feel, they will feel that love. I felt, you said you've done your research, but you couldn't get the data for the homeless veterans, but we can do it together. We can do it together, and we need to do this because this is for funding. So when you talk about the research, when they was talking all around us about that $9 billion, that means that when they showed up for us, appropriating, that's where the money is going. But I am going to make sure that we are present. I'm going to take this video and as much as it's information, and we're going to talk about how we can use that to make sure that money goes into our resources here for what we need to do to help other veterans across this country. They're in the cracks. They're in the cracks, and we need to find them. And that's what I want to conclude. Dr. Campbell, can you just talk a little bit about what the plan is for the last few minutes we have, and then we're going to just plan to expound again. And Lakeisha, you have got to come back for a part two on this because it really is about you. I talked a lot about this, but the question that you had asked, they will definitely be answered, but this is a good place to answer them so that Dr. Campbell's work can reach thousands of women veterans because Baltimore has more homeless women veterans. They don't talk about it, but they are here. There's a lot of homeless women veterans here, and we need to go out and we need to search them and make sure that they're part of this project.
Meeting or at the forum that Lakeisha, was on, because she said there wasn't very many people in the room. What happened there? You know, I think we need to look at that process of what happened with Congressman Bishop's team. Did they just not ask for help? I mean, just what was it? Because I know they're veteran groups and veteran organizations in that area. I mean, I just get the feeling they didn't do their homework at all either. And then can we sort of look at methods for how do you interrupt those type of situations without losing control, and how do you successfully bring them back? Or how do you interject a question to say, can you explain how many black women are affected by this? Or experienced it? I mean, we have to show our young people on how to recover.
And just think about this.
I totally
think,
agree with you with that, karma. I really do, because that sounds like something really wasn't put out, you know, right? Because I know for a fact that I have a female commander, state commander, that's right there in D.C. She runs the American Legion. They're there. And I know if they knew all of this was going on, they would have brought this in. And as much as we have spoken in Milwaukee about us, I'm sure that they would have passed some questions just like what you were going to, what you were saying, Carla, that
I think Lakeisha would have done that, except for the tightness in the environment there. It was very tight there. I think that she could have and would have done that, but it was very tight in terms of how they were controlling. You know, they literally were controlling that timing period, you know, constantly talking to one another. And when she did try to say something, they were talking while she's talking. It was very, they crowded her. And it was like, you know, y'all talk,
right.
Right down.
That's why we
here now. But I want y'all to write this number down. It's in the chat, so y'all can come in and jump on the Blog Talk Radio, so we can finish this up. Because I think this is going to that we end this, because I thought 1.5 hour was enough, but I think that Lakeisha really I had to push her a little bit more, because I really want her to open up. She speaks so very well, and I was so proud of her. And that what didn't happen when she did get a chance to get out, she said, y'all need to put that money. And let me tell you what she said now. I may be paraphrasing. I'm going to say it the way I heard it. Y'all need to put that money into some homeless programs and buy some HUD vest vouchers. And that came out clear and did nothing impede her from getting out one of the most important points. So that was the most significant point. But what she did was she brought the conversation back to the women veterans, okay? She talked about how she was a homeless veteran, and that was the part of the conversation that we could have left home on, okay? Because that was the only part of the conversation that was actually connected to a black woman veteran, and she was able, when she got it in, she put it in. You know, nobody, I don't think anybody particularly had given her a question or anything like that. She just kind of put that in the conversation. Y'all need to put that money, like basically where your mouth is, you know, put that money in black women veterans. And I think this is a good place for us to conclude and jump on the radio station. The number's right there in the chat, and we could finish this up. Please jump on there if y'all have a few minutes. I'm just going to wind this up.
I'm on the person that don't have the chat. So.
It's 319-527-6033. So we're actually speaking out audio to through the podcast, and I was trying to do the visual, but this visual is going to be just for us unless, you know, there's somebody's permission. We will get permission to display it. But this is something I just wanted us to see one another, really introduce you to this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful lady. And I thank you. I have really demonstrated here your poise, your expertise. She's a great professional, and she doesn't lend into my emotional drama because I'm very emotional, you know. But I think that she was able to guide me in a way that let me know that she could I'm going to say she was resilient in that regard. You see what I'm saying? And I think this is a message that we can all learn from, because under pressure with three congresspeople gouging at you about something that you were totally unsuspecting of, I commend you. I say you represented black women veterans across this country well, very well. And I'm going to commend you to your face and in front of my peers that I would put you before any diplomat. I don't care on any stage. You represented us, and I believe that it's commendable, and we will never, ever forget and let go of this moment, because you are leading us into a place where we know that we need to be present. But in saying that, I also that we need to set the paradigm. I don't go anywhere if I get an itinerary. I have to have that. But you walked into something blindly. But you came out of there pure gold. I think you did well, and I commend you, Lakeisha Stringer, and you're forever going to be an icon in my scheme of women veterans for doing what you did. And I really do appreciate you for doing that.
Y'all cheating
on that one. I think I might have to get me a train ride down to Georgia. A midnight train. Dr. Cameron.
Well, Senator Clark invited me, and it's one of my official visits. And so they want me to come to their call. I told them I'll be there. So I'm looking forward to seeing you then, but I really got to go and finish with these other ladies and stuff. But I enjoyed this. And, yes, we need to stay in this vein. We really need to do some work in this vein. But I will talk to you, Lakeisha, about that place that you were at, been there.
But you have to talk about in the future about your Women Veteran Support Services and all you're doing now there with domestic violence in North Carolina, domestic violence, homeless veterans. I mean, her story is endless in the work that she does. She's talking it very light. And then she is the vice commander of this national organization, where they have 20 million members, all these millions of members you representing in this huge space. And I'm just commending you for that. And, of course, you, Commissioner, you know where you are down there. You're like a you're in the shark tank. And I know that you're swimming with the sharks. And I appreciate you for all your hard work that you are doing down in Washington, D.C., representing us, because I know how you talk. You don't change your language. You don't change your tone. You speak as poignantly, how about we use that word, as poignantly amongst these individuals down here as she does right here. And I can tell you that because I'm a witness to it. And I am just so proud that we have her in that space, and she's taking on another turn. She's taking on another turn. And you, Dr. Campbell, you know, we hit the ground running from day one, and I thank you for jumping in right here. Since it's just us, I'm going to give y'all a little bit of that's one person on here that knows what God has been doing in my life, but I have actually been considered for an appointment with the White House. So I had my interview. On Friday. And I have two more interviews to go. I mean, we have to get through the hard part. If they own this call, then I may not make it. But I'm not going to bite my tongue about it. When I go into the White House, if that's what God has for me, they will know who they're getting. I'm not biting my tongue. And I have my hand reached back. I have my hand reached back so that others will be able to follow. But this is the kind of doors that have been opened through this platform here. And I want to continue to congratulate us because we are doing the hard work here. And we're not going to be disrespected. And that's the way I feel about it.
Thank you so much for being a beacon and a lead and also a mentor. I thank you so much, Kathy. I really do. I love you to pieces. I'm just a lot of people that love you. And if they don't, then at least they respect you, because the one thing about it, you want this word. And that's been a comfort to me, and that's definitely been one of my guiding lights. So I thank you so much for being a beacon, you know, of hope and facilitating, you know, this forum for us, because we really don't have that. But through your leadership, there you are.
Lakeisha, you know, your presence was powerful. Would you like to have any words about just the networking that we've been able to do today? I wanted you to see what we've been doing, but we've been through some things, as you can see. We're kind of like a senior group here, you know. And I wanted you to be embraced by what I told you was love. This is an open and no place else where any of us are present. And I want you to have that comfort in knowing that I personally am not done with Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And I don't really care about the money. People say, well, you got to be nice to people if you want something from them. I don't believe that. I believe that if you're going to respect me, you're going to give me what I'm supposed to have. You're not going to disrespect me because I don't want nothing from you anyway. You see what I'm saying? So we need to make sure that that language and that communication is pure so that it doesn't happen again, because I think she felt a little bit too comfortable with referring to as the black or the minorities. And who else were we? The African-Americans, okay? So because we were black women veterans there, I think they failed to understand the distinction. It being a black American who was a descendant of slaves here, we are the power base in America. And I think that it's a mischaracterization of who we are to be defined by anybody else in any other way. That's my how I feel about that. It's my blackness. And I'm kind of a militant radical, but I like to calm it down by saying I'm somewhat of an academic as well. And I know a little something, but in terms of my heart is where my people are. And I fight for them wherever I am. It doesn't matter. So I'm going to leave the last words to Dr. Campbell, because she has plans, and I really want to hear what she feels like in the next 2 weeks or whatever the month is that we were going to step up to the next phase of our plans for next year.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just kind of shuffling aside. But I think that if you're hearing everything that everybody said, and especially your passion, Kathy, and definitely leading with that, and strategically knowing what we want, where we want to go, how we want to get there, and making sure that we, and not just bite tongues or not to take sides, but strategically getting what we want. So that's going to be my focus in assisting Kathy and moving this thing forward and making sure that, you know, veteran women get what they deserve, need, and what they want. So the dollars will follow. The more our voices are heard, the dollars will follow. The dollars fall where the wheel that sweeps the ladder gets the most pull. So we got to make sure that we are on platforms, that we are supporting each other on the platforms, that the next time the teacher speaks, that we are facilitating, and that we can shut down whoever we need to shut down during that process and make sure that our voices or and our questions, that the things that we want to be heard get out there. You know, hey, the money needs to go here no matter what or whatever. So that's strategically what I would like to work with you all, to work with you, Kathy, to make sure, again, that, you know, we talked about the things that we wanted to do with the women veterans, with the Veterans Brain Trust. But just, you know, planning. I was telling my daughter-in-law that, you know, she's in real estate and all of this, and she was like, well, we got a meeting tonight. She said, well, I'm just going to pop up at the meeting, and, you know, hopefully, you know, God's going to give me the perfect people. I said, no, you just don't pop up. You know where you're going. Now, what do you want from this meeting? What do you want to gain from this night? So wherever we go, we're going to know what we want to gain from this conference, what we want to gain from this meeting, what we want to gain from this. We're always going to have a game plan so that when we come back or when we leave, we get what we want. So that's my goal.
Well, I thank you so much. It looks like we can actually – looked like we can actually go and stay on the line here. I thought it actually would cut us off, but it didn't. So I'm just going to continue to talk because we're still live. Yes, absolutely. Please, Lakeisha. You were saying something?
Oh, I was saying there's 5 minutes remaining.
You see that? Where you see that at? I did see it too, but I saw it 5 minutes ago. I saw it 5 minutes ago, but let's just keep talking. And if you want to jump on to the Blog Talk Radio, I'm going to be on there just to recap and just to thank everybody. The one thing about the podcast that I think is important is documentation. Because if we don't document it, it never happens. So when we're talking about work that we are doing, goodbye, Dr. Colonel. I promise not to call you for another couple of days.
Kathy, I'm going to have to do. I have an audit.
Yes, ma'am.
But you need me, just give me a call.
Yes, ma'am. But I think everybody's jumping off, and we're going to catch up, and I'm going to send out an email, and if anybody wants to be recording, I'm going to send this out to everybody, and I hope everybody is satisfied with what we was able to accomplish today, which was to show support for Lakeisha and let her know that we are here and we are in for the long haul.
Discuss today, and any ideas that ladies may have that can, you know, help us as we move forward, please to put them down, get them to Kathy, so that as we continue to brainstorm and strategically plan, we can make sure that we include that.
Yes, madam. And thank you so much, Dr. Kim, because I know your schedule is like crammed, and I know this. But listen, to whom much is given, much is required, and I know you do all things well. What you saw, Lakeisha, on that page of the Congressional Black Caucus newsletter, that's her work. This is how Dr. Campbell works for us. This is how she works for us, and she's been consistently professional throughout all of the programs and projects that she's facilitated for the Congressional Black Caucus Veterans Brain Trust, and that's why I embraced her when she when I met her, and from this point forward, she has never changed, always willing to give back to us, and you know, I'm grateful to her. I really am. And I really want to give a shout out, just in case Ron does listen to this, that I love Ron Olmsted. He's the Veterans Brain Trust founder and executive director. I love him. He's the backbone to the movement of Black veterans that have been able to get legislation passed, the 6888 gold medal, Congressional Gold Medal of Honor. I think he's the impetus for that in a lot of ways, and just so much work that he's done. You know, we just want to just continue to just love him and his legacy and just take the reins, because when we got it, we got it. You know what I'm saying. So Ron, you know, we just got to keep him in prayer, because he's carried a heavy load all of these years, you know. Thank you, Dr. Campbell. I appreciate you so much for showing up for us. Thank you. Are you going to leave me too? You got to go as well, because you are so phenomenal. You know what? You're so poised and professional that I'm going to continue to watch you, because there's so many people that invite me for stuff. I don't always go. I'm not the one to go to speak. I was pushed into this position. We had a moderator. She had another conflict in her schedule, and I was really forced into it because I talk too much. I do. I talk too much, and I get passionate about people that I see that I don't see every day when they come in and they support this, you know.
Is your passion?
Fight for my sister veterans.
Let me tell you, this conversation that we had today started Friday. This started Friday because you got on the phone, you called everyone and their great aunt.
Yes, I did. You are so deserving. You are so deserving. You are connected to people that need to know that we are doing things out here. And we are looking at you. What she said, she's looking for people to help. This is Dr. Campbell is such a phenomenal lady. You know, she has a heart for it. She's been doing it. I think she's been doing it for many years. When I met her, probably 2012 or 2013, consistently just making herself available. She has a large clientele. Very well known in the area, very well known in the Baltimore area, you know. So she took the time out. These are some really important people here. So I'm laying back. I come on here with my pillows. They know I'll be laying back here. So I'm laying back here with my pillows and stuff. You know, they know me, but I get very relaxed. I got my pillows and whatever. But I just thank God, because they understand we're veterans, and I don't put judgment on veterans. You just never know. But if you want to get the best out of us, let us bring it the way we're going to bring it. You see what I'm saying? Don't put no stipulations on it, because you might get it a little bit different, skewed. But if you let veterans bring it the way they want to bring it, laid back, without all the fanfare,
yes,
you're going to get something. You're going to get something amazing. And Colonel Cooper, you see her? She's down in D.C., okay? She comes down here. She's at the table. She's at the table, and you coming down here as well. Everything here. Patricia comes to D.C. Her story is powerful. When she really gets into a talk and have time, y'all guys.
I'm looking forward to October 27th.
I think I'm gonna come down there for real. I'm a legionnaire now. I'm a legionnaire. Okay, I got hats here. I got a county district commander, deputy commander. I got all kinds of hats here. You know, I'm thinking about, I'll come down and hang with you guys. But your hair is so beautiful.
Thank you.
You have a curl in it.
Oh, let me tell you, I was at the Georgia Power event, they honored Representative Calvin Zari from Columbus, Georgia.
Mm.
And it was the in the row just to see someone from home being represented. Like, it was beautiful for him to be represented on that level. And I have to call him ambassador, if that would be his next title. But it was an honor. So I met a young lady from Atlanta, and the way she did her locks, girl, I just did my second one. And I love the way she did her lot. So, Ashe, if I say so, that Ashe is awesome.
So, what I did today was I took I had my hair plaited underneath. So, I took it out.
Yeah.
And it's so curly. And I want to lock it, though, because it's really, really curly.
Yeah.
Right? And I have it, like, kind of pinned up in the back. But, Liz, I was looking at it. They know that I'm not clownish, but I don't have no restrictions to around my friends. You know, I don't let them judge me. They don't judge me, and I don't judge them. So we get on this call, and sometimes we've been on here for like 6 hours. You know, people from all over. There's another group that comes on with me. Maybe the Native American, my girl Ellie. You know, then we got Michelle. Michelle didn't make it on, but we'd just be on here. We'd be talking for hours. But Patricia got time. She got some good information to share. The things that she does in her area where she actually helps a lot of domestic violence, women that get, you know, have to need housing from leaving domestic situations and things like that. And she has a nonprofit that she works.
While you're saying that, with the HUD Mass voucher, it's, let's say, like, they don't have a voucher available. They have a program called the SSDF Fund.
Yes. Get off this call, because you know me. What I will have you on here all day. Because listen, I got my ward, I got my coffee. I think I need to go out and get some air, because I will have you on here all day long. I just appreciate you because you're so powerful. And this is the kind of network, these women out here doing all this hard work, and they'll see, oh, this is what it's about. Now, you know, these are the sisters that are benefiting from your work down in Congress. These are the sisters that are benefiting, you know, from your work with the national, role in the American Legion. This is who you're building up, and I wanted them to embrace you, and I think they did that today. What do you think?
Indeed. I felt so welcome. This, being humble, being amongst goddesses, being amongst greatness, being amongst women that say you have permission to be as great as you want to be, or as great as you can acknowledge within yourself that you are.
Keep me in your prayers. You know, I still have 2 more interviews to go through, and I trusted these women with that information, so I didn't talk about it before. But keep me in your prayers, and I show you. Tell your mom I said hello.
I will.
Tell your other mother I said hi. Yes, yes. I'll talk to you later. Please stay in touch with me, okay?
Will do.
Okay. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Okay. So we're going to do this.
$100,000. To apply, press 1 now to speak to a funding solution specialist. Otherwise, you may press 2 to decline funding options at this time.